Let's read together Daniel chapter 1. Here in this first chapter of Daniel, we have the record of Nebuchadnezzar's first invasion of Judah in 605 BC and the first deportation of captives to Babylon. Let's begin by reading the first seven verses of the chapter. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Let's begin our study of this first chapter of Daniel with some background notes. Daniel is one of the four major prophets of the Old Testament, the other three being Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. In the book of Daniel, we are given a broad and comprehensive view of the flow of history, from here to eternity, as it were. And God's plans and purposes for Israel are seen as a major part of this broad scope of history and prophecy. In 605 BC, the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar defeated the allied forces of Assyria and Egypt at the well-known Battle of Carchemish. Later that year, Nebuchadnezzar made his first of three invasions of Judah, and he besieged Jerusalem. We see in verse 1 of our chapter that Jehoiakim was king of Judah at this time. In this first invasion of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar took the temple treasures away to Babylon, as well as he took captive a number of the up-and-coming young men of Judah, including the young men of royalty and nobility. Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were among these choice captives. They were probably teenagers at the time. As a result of this complete and drastic change in Daniel's life and surroundings and lifestyle, Daniel and the others were faced with some major decisions. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first chapter of Daniel. Doctrinal point number 1. It is not wrong for believers to adjust and accommodate in this world. It is not wrong for believers to adjust and accommodate in this world. In our Lord's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, the Lord prayed the following to the Father in reference to his disciples. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And this is still the position of committed disciples today. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, there are two dangers in maintaining this required position. Number 1, by being in the world, we can get too involved with the world and get sucked into this world system and become worldly with worldly values and attitudes. The other danger is to be so not of this world in our life and lifestyle that we fail to meet our responsibilities in this world. This is the so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good danger. We see that Daniel had his act together in this area. He adapted and adjusted and accommodated to his new situation in pagan Babylon, but he did not compromise in his faith. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. Daniel accepted the new Babylonian name that was given to him, and he learned the language of Babylon. We know this for sure because Daniel wrote a significant portion of the book of Daniel in Aramaic. Daniel did not refuse to become a student at the University of Babylon, and he studied hard and learned all about international politics and graduated summa cum laude, as we see in the second half of this chapter. And God blessed this approach that Daniel took, and the lesson for us should be obvious. We may find ourselves at times in new and different situations or cultures or surroundings for any number of different reasons. We must adapt properly, but within biblical limits. It is not wrong for believers to adjust and accommodate in this world. That brings us to our second doctrinal point. It is wrong for believers to compromise and conform to this world. It is wrong for believers to compromise and conform to this world. Let's read the rest of the chapter. Daniel chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Now for the sake of time, I'm reading from something I wrote on this passage some years ago. Quote, the majority of the captives probably reasoned that it was foolish to put their lives on the line when they were so far away from home and up against such overwhelming odds. Why not lie low and conform to the Babylonian way of life? When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. Yes, the majority reasoned this way. They usually do. With common sense, they rationalize themselves right out of the will of God. See Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. But Daniel, notice the contrast, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Verse 8. Daniel knew from the word of God that to eat at the king's training table was wrong. Not only were certain of those foods expressly forbidden to the Jews by the scriptures, but also the king's food was probably dedicated to heathen idols. Eating and drinking the king's choice food would have involved Daniel in defiling pagan religious practices. Daniel would not compromise and disobey the word of God. He knew that God does not water down his word because of uncomfortable or tough or sticky situations. God is pleased when we dare to be Daniels. Daniel did not compromise in matters of the faith. Although he adjusted and accommodated himself to his new environment, he did not conform to Babylon. Babylon's goals did not become Daniel's goals. Babylon's glories did not become Daniel's glories. Babylon's gods did not become Daniel's gods. Daniel did not disobey the word of God. He did not compromise in his faith. He did not conform to this world. Daniel dared to stand faithful. End of quote. It is wrong for believers to compromise and conform to this world. Practical application from Daniel chapter 1. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. This is certainly an obvious practical application from this chapter, isn't it? Now, once again, I'm reading from the devotional I wrote entitled Dare to be a Daniel, which can also be found on our website, growingchristians.org. Quote, Daniel's stand was no doubt costly. Imagine the comments of the other captives, even old buddies from home. What's Daniel trying to prove anyhow? He's going to get us all killed. Here comes Deacon Daniel. Quit trying to play God, Daniel. And imagine having to eat vegetables and drink water for 3 years, verses 15 and 16. Not too exciting. No, it wasn't easy. But Daniel made up his mind that he was going to be faithful to the Lord. He set the example, and three others followed. Only three. A pitiful minority. But God blessed and honored these faithful few. We don't read any more about the compromising captives, but we do read more of the faithful few. Read on in Daniel and see how God promoted these men and used them for his glory. We learn from verse 21 that Daniel outlived the Babylonian Empire itself. Cyrus, you see, was a king of the Persian Empire. Notice how the scripture seems to emphasize that Daniel continued. He continued to stand faithful to the Lord. Right now, many of you are facing a situation similar to Daniel's. You've just started college or moved to a new town or started a new job. You're in a different environment, maybe even a different culture. Everything's changed. No one seems to talk about the Lord. Christians are definitely in the minority. Home is so far away. The pressure to conform to the new group is so great. It is so easy to compromise just a little in the faith. What should you do? Dare to be a Daniel. Yes, it will be hard and costly and gutsy and very lonely at times. You will be laughed at by some, mocked out by others, and ignored by many. The temptation to quit or lie low or crawl into your shell will be very strong. Don't yield. Struggle to be faithful. Of course, there will be changes. Any new situation brings adjustments. Some of you are coming from sheltered environments. Your horizons will be broadened. Daniel certainly were. Your lifestyle will change some. God expects you to relate to the culture in which he places you. But God expects you to remain faithful to him in your social life, in your sex life, in your spoken life. Don't disobey the word of God. Don't conform to this world's goals and glories and gods. Don't compromise. Be faithful and God will bless you and honor you and use you for his glory. Dare to be a Daniel.